Like how the October 4th, 2023 Newtown Borough Council work session to order. Please join me in the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I have one amendment to the agenda, which is that we need to remove the waiver request for the trans handicap ramps, as they are no longer requesting that. Michelle, I'm looking at you for a nod.
Oh, yes, sorry. Yeah. Yes, they're already in. Yes.
Okay, great. And I need a patch.
So. I have an extra one here. Oh, one extra.
Great.
I have so bad, but we can share.
Thank you. Or you leave me this?
I don't know, but if I do, we'll deal with it.
Okay.
Or not borrow it. It's from a winery in England.
Oh, then I'm going to steal her.
Oh, thank you. I'm here.
Now we got that settled.
Do we have any other amendments to the agenda? Okay, public to be heard.
Hi. Jane Apple.
Just if you're a resident or not.
And I have a concern. I was looking at the agenda. I was going to just zoom in like I normally do, but I noticed that there are four resignations or openings in the Planning Commission, which is tragic given what we have to go through right now. And I wanted to know why these came up. So, you have any comments on that? And questioning how a lot of things we're going to be reviewing now that affect the later in the agenda, talking about sequel view. How are we going to be limping along with only two members of the Planning Commission with any knowledge and a new person and having lost four people that have been so instrumental and thorough in our evaluations?
You wanted to make
sure.
There's nothing we can do if people choose to resign if they're not happy for whatever reason. We cannot control that at all. We do have three applicants, which I was going to announce later, that are very good, viable candidates that have been, kept themselves abreast to the process so far. And that's all we can do. And we have an engineer and we have attorneys who are also guide us, so as well as the Planning Commission. So again, there's nothing we can do. If they resign and they choose not to stay a part of it, then there's no control. We have no control over that, but we can go forward and hopefully we have enough applicants that come forward. And of the ones that we have, we hope that they're going to be good, viable candidates that are familiar with the whole project. Because we feel the same frustration, concern.
I found the last CWU special meeting was I was shocked. I wish I was here. There was public comment that was taken away from the beginning. And it was just these 15 points were thrown at us, and their attorneys had no question about it. It made it seem like things were done behind the scenes, and which is like, what's happened? And the whole tone of the meeting and the attorney I thought was kind of hostile at listening to some of the public comment at the end of the meeting, and they were kind of shut down. Mm-hmm. And it's really concerning to me that voices are not being heard in the community with such a huge project coming up ahead of us. And I think that the people who resigned understood and were warning us of major concerns that we face with Steve review and with all of the concessions it seems to have been made. However it was decided on those 14 or 15 points, I still can't understand them. So I think we need more transparency.
Okay, well, they were reviewed, through our engineer and with our attorneys, and we wanted to put those considerations in. And there, as much as there's many people who have, those concerns, there's also many people who are in favor of the project as it stands. So,
I have one more comment, because I think all of us felt that discomfort,
mm-hmm.
Because that was not a normal meeting. That was a hearing, and every single thing in that was
on the record.
It was in the record for the hearing for the project. So that's why we couldn't say, have a little conversation, well, they're this and they're this, and they're, don't worry, you don't worry about X, that kind of thing. And that's why we left.
Have you spoken to the people who resigned from the Planning Commission? Did that sense for things, or are you interested in knowing?
I spoke. The challenge was, because it was a hearing, I asked the solicitor once we had this executive session, what I could or could not share with people in the Planning Commission to keep them informed, because I do believe if the Planning Commission had the information that we changed, it wouldn't be a 6-0 vote against. I think there would be people in the Planning Commission.
There's 5-0, I think it's one without.
Right.
Focus. Well, whatever.
But yeah, yeah, same. So, they voted. Yeah, I guess.
So the frustration was I couldn't share information with them ahead of time because I was told that there's a hearing, it is what it is. So I did have a conversation with two of them that we signed, and I was very disappointed because of the fact the feedback was, well, I care about this community, I'm passionate about this community, but now you're walking away from a project.
I think everybody has to make their own personal decisions about where they stand and what the process is. And yet there's different members of council talking to different members. I don't want to, like, they're not here. I want to start dissing them. Like,
no, I'm not dissing them.
No, I know you're not. I just don't want to go into, like, why
the challenge.
I think they made their own internal decision, I'm sure.
Right. And all the respect in the world to the Planning Commission, and they've followed this for a long time. And I did listen to and buy in on the majority of everything that they said. I was for what they supported, but we did need to work something out. And unfortunately, it wasn't a lack of transparency, but we were not allowed to present this at another meeting. Or my suggestion was, could we take the information, go back to the Planning Commission, say, these are the things we're looking for. How do you feel about it now? That could not happen. So we had to vote on this, and unfortunately they were not in the loop, and rightfully so, they probably felt they should have been, but we were, at least I was told that's not what it could happen. But I do agree there is a concern with both the Planning Commission mm-hmm. during this process, but I don't know what we can do at this point. So.
Thank you. All right, any other public concerns? You just hand up.
Hi. My name is Ron Sabo. I am a resident of the borough, and specifically I live at 202 South State, and we moved to the 11. We came from a house in the township, very close to large, two of us. We wanted to be downtown, we fought, we loved it. I am a real estate lawyer and developer for 35 years. I have prepared at least a dozen of these documents. I've been in Michigan, been in Florida. I've done this many, many, many times. Now, when we came to buy, what do I do as a real estate agent? I read every line. What 200-page documents, attachments, every line, because I've drafted many of them. I know what I'm looking for. This is called a convertible condominium. Kathy and I were well aware of what could happen, because you folks have been considering apparently for possibly a decade of what's going on here. And we are in favor because we are developers, we own a lot of development in Michigan. When I reviewed the documents and looked at the plan, knowing it's a convertible condominium, you guys have been involved, if you ever, but somebody in this room has been involved in predecessors for ever. So any condominium documents, which will be the same document that will live on, there was a paragraph that made me very comfortable with my problem of no parking. Contract.
Sir, do you mean no party? You mean no party status?
No parking.
No parking. Oh, no parking. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm sorry, sir. Go on.
Pardon. Condominium documents are a contract between the developer and each individual who signs on. In the condominium document, you all know this, you should know this. Paragraph 4.3, parking. When a purchaser of a unit, we all spent well over $1 million, is conveyed title, the declarant will grant that purchaser an exclusive license to use two assigned parking, not in some general field. Exclusive license, that's a legal term, to use two assigned parking. Those assigned parking spaces have never been given this. But Alan promised that this will happen. So now for the last year and a half, I'm reading all of these documents that come out of how to mark at length. One of the nice tell. Even sent emails, so I think, I don't know all the names, but I sent an email out recently when I was someplace in Europe part of the round that I'm concerned about the support commission, specifically that paragraph that, that you guys were aware of, because you allow this kind of meeting to be approved. Now, I come back Sunday. Judy was kind enough to let me see, I think it was September 23 plans from the consultant. I also spoke with Brian today. He's not there. And just make sure I was reading right, because they are large and they're 80 pages long with the Denver. Not only do we, are we not, we being the occupants and owners of the units in this one building, phase one, there's nothing that you have done to give us what that document says we are entitled. A license, which is every rule of a license that generally runs the land. So the next guy who buys me when I'm dead and gone has the same right. I don't see where it exists. So I open these plans up on these 20, on these pages, and I'm just like, the Greenbelt, immediately south, my unit is 2B, so I'm east and south. And this green belt says, wait, I'm like a parking lot. Perfectly fine. Not my parking lot, but I've got a parking lot. No building. So then I'm going through and saying, all right, where are my two assigned parking? By the way, there are nine units in that building. I have a family, one of the nice young family in Morgan, spending a fortune doing their upgrade. So I think we have nine units, 18 parking. 18 paragraphs apply, nine paragraphs apply to 18 paragraphs. When I look at what I saw today, I call Brian to make sure I'm not missing something. No assigned parking for just this building. I know you guys are concerning the entire project. We're the ones that spent $1 million to $1.5 million to be in this wonderful building. I love everyone being downtown. But we do need some consideration. So here's what I found. Immediately outside of the entrance to my condo, and you guys know where the entrances are. Here's the liquor, here's the awning, that's it. The fat bakery shop is I can't go on to do. I love her. Yeah. That butter smell was the entire step of the door. I opened my door and I'm like,
we've had conversations in here discussing
so when I open the plans, for me, that's the end of the day. I see a couple of things that some people say. First thing, there's no mention of the nine of us. I thought possibly referenced in Newtown Patch, which I called when I was walking around Italy with my brother. There was a gated area. It's up. There's my protection. Because I mentioned to Mark Craig, we should get a key fob to protect us, fob it, holders, so that I don't have. Someday or sometime when I come back from wherever I'm at, go out to dinner with my wife, I'm in a different country, I'm in a place in Michigan. I'm a parking spot, not taken over by somebody who's too lazy to go down the street because it's rain, snowing, and wind blowing, et cetera, et cetera. So they're my parking place. Not what I want to happen. From the beginning, that was possible, but I was protected thinking that you guys would do this. So now what I find, we have one handicap in front of that door, two more at the end. New plans show all three handicaps are immediately in front of my door. Right? That's number one. Number two, where are the other parking places for our building? Brian was kind enough to tell me, well, there is a spot in the semicircle at the top, farthest point away, five spots. That'll be residents only. Brian, do you intend those spots to be resident 2D, Ron Sable, or whoever? Change our paper to sign. So we do our, we have developments, I have 500-600 parking spots in our developments. We have assigned parking. We know what that is, we know how it works, how easy it is to have. Nope. Those five, Brian, if those are residential, and if this gate is for buildings 9 through 12, are we the residents that are supposed to use those five places? Well, they're available for you, signs to be determined. Right? That makes no sense. There are 16 places. My door's here. 16. Why aren't those 5 closest to my building? Why am I walking another 200 feet in the rain, snow, and thunder, if I even have a place? All right. And I can pull more than 2. Is there any possibility of, this is all going to be wrote up anyway, taking those, that one handicap and the other 2, not bringing them this way, but putting them that way, away from our entrance. Handicaps, handicap, there's a parking to get into the alcohol place. Either way is pretty much the same distance, so possibly move them down. Then these, I think there are 5 places left. That's only 5 and 5, it's only 10. Let those be ours. Designated ours, as paragraph 4 says, are ours. We have a license that I paid $1,200,000 to have 2 parking places. And I think I've read, and everybody I talk to, nice as everybody is, I'm not going to give them from anybody. Period. That same document's going to be used for the next 5 years. It may be amended, but it can't change what my rights are and the other people in the village, because we already signed it. Now, what I would ask is, someone's got to give this some serious thought. How are we protecting us, the 9 of us, the 9, however many there are, times 2. Let me tell you too. Now, as an idea, the gentleman across the street that you approved, what did he do? He has the parking spots marked, apartment 2B, apartment 2C, or whatever the numbers are. They're specifically marked. If you do the same thing in Michigan, this is Raymond James parking, this is UPS parking. That's what's in the contract. Something like that could happen. The people who are buying alcohol, if you are going ahead of this 11 parking places, who park there? They're there for 10 minutes, 15. So that when I go out, or my wife, we have a parking place in front, right now, in front, with a name on it, or something, I'm pretty the name, reserved for unit 2B. How even that's going to be a problem? Because somebody's going to cheat when it's raining, pouring, and they don't feel good. They're going to say, screw this. Jump in my place, and what am I going to call you guys? I don't think so. So we need some help, specific help, not general conversation of what might be in the future. We're the only ones who have spent $10 million so far when we add up, you know, what we paid for these. We don't have any protection yet today. And I've been talking to Mark Craig, said, oh, some of you guys emails asking for some. So we really need not general constants. We're there now. We live there. I know when I read that, by the way, I've done so many traffic studies, the 100-page. I read it. I know what they say. That traffic study is the worst I've ever read. I live there. I know how many come and go.
Okay, Mr. Sabo. Okay, I'm just going to tell you. So public comment is 5 minutes. Because you came to us and you're in the office and I talked to you and Judy invited you, I said, yeah, that would be great. And you're, you know, resident this, well, yeah. Because of that, it's longer. But what I would say is I think we got that. I don't want to move into the parking study, but I think you have a very serious point there. I see Michelle, our engineer, writing diligently. And I don't know if anybody has any comment for Mr. Say right now, or if it's a certain thing we should get back to you. We need your contact information and you can give us Judy.
Perfect.
Or
you got my email.
You've sent emails, so I can go back and search Sabo. Yeah. But perhaps just send it to Judy and then we'll be in touch. All right.
Good. Thank you very much. Have a great evening.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, Michelle.
Okay, the first thing I have for you for next week is similar to last month. We're going to ask for approval of a resolution for the borough and the township to be co-applicants to submit a grant to the local share account of the Commonwealth Financing Authority to construct a pedestrian bridge over the Newtown Creek. And provide a trail between Sycamore Street and Edgeboro Drive. This is a little different than last month because the committee that was formed to look at this bumped up the prices, unit cost a little bit, just to make sure that there was enough money to do these improvements. I think it's also important to note that this is 100% a construction cost reimbursable to the borough and the township if the grant was awarded.
And Michelle and I had some conversation. I had some too with Mr. Sellers, who's been spearheading this from the residential side as a representing Newtown Creek Coalition, in terms of the out-of-pocket costs and the length before reimbursement. And as part of the process, we're going to make sure that we're protected in that way. And because obviously we don't have the flexibility to spend, you know, $500,000 and then get it back later the way the town might. Now, actually, I don't even know if they do either, but they have more flexibility than we do. So
I had a conversation with the township manager who believes that it would be handled, this reimbursement, similar to the road programs that we did with them in the past, where we would sign an agreement with the township, they would reimburse, do the payments, and ask for reimbursement from the borough.
Okay.
That's how he believes that.
If we give them reimbursement, then, but we need reimbursement from the
from the grant.
Local share. Right. Yeah, it's a DCD, I think. So,
right.
So we would need their reimbursement, or whoever made the expenditures.
Right, but if the township is paying the contractor to do
then
the work,
they'll be getting the,
right.
the reimbursement. Right.
Right.
Right, we're along to say we support it too.
Right.
All right.
Sure, if I may.
And Mr. Sellers, sure.
Yeah, just real briefly, because you and I spoke about this morning. I looked at the guidelines for 2023, and in fact, it's a little more straightforward. Where the township has been approved for the grant, there is a process which includes the submission of a required payment request, accompanied by invoices, bid tab, contract, anything to show the cost incurred. And then there's a direct payment, which is processed back within 2 to 4 weeks. So I know we're speaking in terms of reimbursement. I'm not saying that it won't happen at some point, but the way the LSA grant is structured, it does have a process for direct payment without having the intermediary payment by a municipality and then reimbursement. I'm going to say, LSA is going to provide those funds more directly. So that's the way the guidelines for this year read. And if we're approved next year, it should be an easy process. Not to say that reimbursement might not be required, but as it is set up, it shouldn't be.
Thank you. Other comments, questions, thoughts from anybody else?
I had a question, but Michelle kind of already answered it by saying they bumped up the cost estimates to include whatever.
Just to make sure that
my question was the second bullet here, unknown at this time, what update PennDOT may require. My question was, so is this number what they think will cover anything that PennDOT may require?
The second bullet point.
At the bottom. That's just the note to unknown at this time. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the...
Oh, that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, so it's just note number two.
Oh, right. Bottom. That's
yeah, so,
when we get further into
yeah.
the design. Right.
Right. You already answered that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we've had a lot of increases beyond what was expected for some grants lately. So
that's the whole world.
Yep, exactly. So
totally
I was glad
unexpected.
To hear that this was, you know, this was the high end of what could be expected, and falls within the grant. Anyone else? We're going to move this forward to next week.
Okay, one other item I want to bring to your attention, and that's the road program for this year. Pre-construction meeting with the contractor will be held tomorrow morning. So hopefully the work will begin within the next 2 weeks.
Great, thanks, Michelle. Mm-hmm. All right, is that it?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, fire budget request. So the agreement between the township and the borough for fire services has a section which says No annual increase in payment from the borough to the township pursuant to sections 2.3 and 2.4, which describe increases in capital expenses and increase in service expenses. Of this agreement shall exceed 10% of the borough's then applicable compensation for fire service. Such cap, when reached by additional township costs, will trigger a formal report by the township to the borough explaining the need and documenting the additional costs. So when we received the, or call it just like a draft list of here's what needs to be done, what the fire chief is as a hoping to do next year, it came out to 13.6% of our total this year. Our total this year minus at capital expenses, like 1 year, like the vehicle. So just the base total. So because it came out to 13.6% of it, which is $21,000 and $21,012, I asked Glenn to put together a formal report as is described in the agreement. And the township took a look at it, the fire service committee took a look at it. You know, their staff agreed that yes, this was applicable. So Glenn has kindly joined us today, and everybody has his formal report as well.
Thank you. First, I'd like to say that I'm happy to announce that Newtown Township received the CEPA grant. That's worth $1,556,000 for the next 3 years. So we will receive over $500,000 a year to assist us in hiring working firefighters, which will give us 7 days of coverage for the borough and the township. So the capital expense is a bit larger this year because of that. The grant only pays for the staff and the benefits for the staff. So protective clothing, their uniforms, anything else, it's up to the township to put in bill. The couple things that I noted here were the personal protection equipment, that's PPE, that's turning out here to be wearing to protect us from the fires. I listed what the cost is. That's an August quote. I really don't know what the cost may be by the time we can do it. So at the August price, the turnout here would be $2,793. The pants that we wear are $2,430. We wear a boot that protects our feet. It's all steel shanks, steel tenon. The $575. The gloves we wear are $129. The helmet is $1,002.50, and we also include a rescue helmet that we use for technical rescue. Our guys, our staff, the volunteers who train technical rescue, could be anything from a cliff rescue, a tower in part, from a building collapse. Anything, no offense to the chief, anything that we saw handle, they call the fire department. So we got a building wherever we're needed. So the total cost for our turnout gear, we buy our firefighters 2 sets of turnout. And the reason we do that is because of cancer consumption law. A large amount of firefighters end up with cancer because of the job. It's just the nature of the job. I knock on wood every day. And so we buy our firefighters 2 sets of gear. Whenever they're involved in a fire, they're required to come back, take that gear, put it out of service, and we go from a total wash, which takes about 24 hours. The turnout gear is completely stripped down, and it goes through a process to the township station. We have a special washer and dryer up there that dries it and washes it. So that's the reason we buy our staff 2 sets of gear. It's probably a 2 to 3 day process once we take that gear out of service, clean it, and put it back in the service. So for the 4 firefighters, we're going to have to purchase 8 sets of gear. And when we signed the agreement with the borough, we had a program set up where we always replace 2 sets a year annually to keep our firefighters up to date, because the turnout gear is only good for 10 years. We're trying a lot of different ways to get that change with other NFPA guidelines. They say the turnout gear goes bad after 10 years, but you claim 1,000 fires or 1 fire. We try to follow those guidelines, so that's the step that we take to make sure our firefighters stay. Total cost for the 10 cents a year is $73,045. The next cost is a new QRS vehicle. We call it a QRS vehicle. It's a small SUV. It's a lot like the police vehicle we have in good condition. This vehicle is will be set up to do emergency medical services. We carry portable extinguishers on there. We carry what we call water cans. They're cans that look like extinguishers, but they have water in them. We can do a lot of work with the fire with these cans. So this truck is equipped to do a lot of different things. It's a small truck. It's easier for us to get around in. I included, and I apologize, the first email I sent you, I didn't include emails and the quote from the fire store. We're projecting roughly around $90,000 to build that truck and equip it and make it serviceable for all the township. The modifications to Station 55, the folks that serve on our fire commission panel, we don't, the township or the township and the borough don't own a fire station. So we currently, the township rents or leases part of the Station 55 township building. We hired an assistant chief this year. We moved him out in the engine bay, his office down here. We worked a deal with the fire association that they allowed us to use that road. Unfortunately, we're running out of Station 45, which is here in the borough. We need to do modifications to the leased area and the township leases for the fire association. So that price came in around $45,000. So our total capital expenses were $208,000. Again, this is kind of out of the ordinary for us because 40 firefighters, it's a huge expense to outfit them. So that's the reason for the larger expense this year.
Can you tell us about the old QRS vehicle? How old is that and what's its
status? The old QRS is a 2020 Ford Expedition. We tried rotating our vehicles out so they last a little longer. The borough participated 2 years ago when we bought our new command vehicle with me. I always take a new car. I know that sounds kind of stingy, but I take a new car, but I rotate it out. Like I have a pickup truck now that has all my stuff in it. When we buy this new vehicle, it will go in to be our QRS truck. The 2020 QRS truck will be converted into my vehicle. That will come down and serve me as a command vehicle. The vehicle that I currently use will go to the assistant chief because he is also the assistant chief slash fire marshal. So he needs a bigger vehicle to put all his investigative stuff in. So that's the way we do it. Our assistant chief currently drives a 2014 Ford Expedition that has 147,000 miles or something like that. And unfortunately, we're not nice to our cars. We don't normally drive them casually. Unfortunately, we jump in them and we exceed the speed limit sometimes. And we're pretty tough on our vehicle. So that's the reason we try to rotate them out. I always take an older car because I don't have to be there as quick as everybody else. I try to be with, I like to put the newer fleet, the newer vehicles into the fleet that is serving in the frontline. It's not that my car is not a frontline vehicle, but I think it's more important for the staff and people that are fighting the fire to have better. So that's the rotation we do. The 2014 Expedition we have, the assistant chief drives now, we have a reserve vehicle. We always keep one in reserve for our special service and that service. We just move our equipment over to it, still set up, and we continue to provide the service. We have a 2016 Charger, Dodge Charger. It's a great vehicle. We use it for training. Our staff uses it to go to all the different training they go to. The volunteers have access to all of our vehicles. So it's a mutual vehicle between the fire association. So I would be more than happy to answer anybody's questions. This is kind of late for capital purchases. I know the mayor and the chair the emergency services commission and fire
commission.
Very Allen. We're going to have some big expenditures. We're taking a look at how we can revamp the fire department. We're talking about taking two trucks and making it one truck. But unfortunately, when we do that, it's when I say I'm taking one truck and making two trucks and making it one, it's also a $2.2 million expense. So we're trying to do the right thing for the community and still be able to provide the protection. A lot of our equipment depends on the insurance services that pop us. Your fire insurance is based on what we do as fire department, based on the training we have, the coverage we have. So everything that we do, we try to do it to the best of our ability so that it has a positive impact on the residents.
Thanks, Chief.
I have a question. Sure. I'm looking at the quote for the PPE, and it does say that the quote expires December 31st of 2023. So are you planning on buying that this year, or will you be getting a new quote for 2024?
I would be hoping that I can lock it in by then.
Okay.
At least if I can lock it in, and then once we hire the staff, they'll come down and measure all and we'll lock it in at this point.
Okay.
That's my goal at this point.
Okay. Thank you.
Congratulations. By the way,
oh yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
And not knowing the status of that at our last meeting, I know we had a lot of conversations. One of the other challenges that you're battling with is the delivery time on the sludge equipment. So you spent $2 million, it would take 3 or 4 years to have delivered. So I think they've done a really nice job of trying to plan ahead and keeping us up to date,
mm-hmm.
And keeping us in the loop. So we appreciate it.
I think the fire service commission great service to both municipalities and the police and elected officials.
Any other questions for Chief Forsythe? So, Nicole, I have a question for you. So, this is what the agreement states. It states what I read out loud. And then it says, so it will trigger a formal report by the township to the borough explaining the need and documenting the costs. The borough and the township are unable to reach agreement on these additional costs, and notwithstanding section BW2 thereof, borough shall have the option within 60 days receipt of the formal report of the township to terminate this agreement upon written notice to the township. Now, I don't think any of us want to do that, I would hope. But it doesn't state that we need to vote on it, so is it just a conversation? Yeah, we're okay. We've received your report and we're not going to challenge it. Is that sufficient for the agreement?
Yeah, you don't have to vote to accept the report or anything like that. It's informational. It's information that you're entitled to under the agreement, but there doesn't have to be any formal action by council.
Okay.
This. And we can consider this the formal report.
This is
the words are big.
Yeah.
So
it's been presented,
yeah.
And we have the option within 60 days to say, sorry, we don't like it, and if we can't work out something with them, and they say, okay, well, we won't do that, we have the option to terminate. Do I have a general sense from here? Everybody's okay with this, understands their program. So, of course, the other step will be the approval from the township, because you know we have 10.3% of it, they have the other 89.7%, and you know that's something their manager and their budget team is looking at. They haven't just they're going to look at it by the 11th, right?
Is that the
11th? So yeah, so that was the other thing I was hoping to get a general response from borough council, so that Chief Forsythe can take it back and say, you know, the borough is okay with this.
And then, of course, discussing it in the context of our own budget. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Pat is aware of the request.
I had asked Pat the Shield does all of our upfitting for our emergency vehicle. I asked him for a quote, and the guy, he was very nice, but he said it would be very difficult to get the price right now for something that may not have it as much.
Mm-hmm.
So the price of the vehicle is, I'm hoping that it's not $90,000, so let's give you a more firm price on it.
It'll be in that zone.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
All right. Goodbye.
All right, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, so for Tuesday's meeting, we'll be looking for a vote on the annual holiday parade, sponsored by the Newtown Business Association on Sunday, December 3rd, 2023, at 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. along State Street and Barkley Street and Sycamore Street. There is no rain date on that. So I don't know if you've had an opportunity, but pretty straightforward. Done regularly. Just a couple of special event reminders. 16th annual Run for Reading 5K this Saturday, October 7th, sponsored by the Newtown Library, 9 a.m., 10 a.m. on the race route. There's no rain date, so we'll be running in the rain. Market Day on Saturday, 7th as well, sponsored by the Newtown Historic Association, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Court Center and Mercer. There is a rain date, and it is Sunday, October 8th. So that's something they have not done recently, so that's good to know. So it will be Sunday if it rains. And then Main Street, formerly the Find a Pink Breast Cancer fundraiser, sponsored by Gina Maria Santoro and Newtown business owners, on Thursday, October 12th. 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. on State Street between Center and Washington Avenue. No break. All right.
A question for you, and it might really be for Chief, or maybe you know, or maybe somebody else knows, but the holiday parade is usually on Sunday.
It is on Sunday.
Oh, okay. I was also going to say, but the first, I believe, is Friday. So it's still, it's going to, because otherwise it would clash with the
open. Yeah, I saw that, I was like, oh, they moved it, but it's Sunday.
Yeah, okay, great. Anybody have anything else for Chief? I mean, for Mr. John? Mayor?
Chief Mayor John.
Big guy. All right. Nicole?
Thank you. So just two items on our report for this evening. The first is the very brief update on Steepleview land development process. Of course, the decision and order on the conditional use application was issued on September 29th. Revised plans were submitted last week, those are pending engineer review. And the only other thing that I would note in light of that status is that if council is not prepared with all the information it needs to act on the revised plans next week, obviously consideration of an extension beyond the current deadline would be necessary. And as you will probably recall, that current deadline is October 31st. The second thing we have,
actually, Nicole, for sure. So if what action would need to be taken, because we should we request an extension? Or are you suggesting, like, Michelle, I know Michelle has got to work on what they just submitted. There's not much time.
I believe the applicant would request an extension from us, and then we would hear from council. And then you would act on that request.
Okay.
We have not received any formal request as of yet, but that may be something that might be before you next week.
Okay. All right. So there should be a discussion.
Can we request that you inform Mr. Duffy of the residents' concerns, that the residents' viewpoint, current plans are totally deficient, providing 16 parking spaces? There was discussion of the use of the reconstructed barn for 8. That's off the shelf because we haven't talked about that in a year. So one of the major problems will be the contractual relationship between the debtor and the residents under those strict covenants. There would be a breach of the covenant by the failure to provide specific parking spaces. And that's an agreement between the developer and the residents, not the developer, the residents and the borough.
Right.
But the problem in us approving any plan going forward is we know there's already a contractual default if those parking spaces are not.
Yeah, candidly, I'm not the person that is handling this particular file in our office, so I can absolutely pass that along.
Yes.
But that is a concern that came up at this evening's meeting, and to the extent that can be discussed with Mr. Duffy, yes, we we can bring that to contention.
I would appreciate it. Thank you.
The second item I have for you this evening is the bollard installation permit at 25 North State Street. The borough received an application for a frontage permit to install bollards along the front of the property at 25 North State Street under our streets and sidewalks ordinances. The streets and sidewalks ordinance requires that the property owner enter into an agreement stating essentially that they own the bollards, they are accepting responsibility for maintaining them, they accept all liability, the borough is free and clear of any issues regarding that. So we did go ahead and draft that agreement, so that agreement will be before you for consideration next week.
Just to send out, okay.
Yeah. Yes.
One thing, I think Chair and I, when we were working on the streets and storm drains and things, I think the storm drain at the corner of the property fronting State Street may be a utility with PICO.
That's PICO, correct.
It is.
Yes.
And the posts are not there far enough away from that, Michelle.
So there was a construction issue of a collapse with the interior walls. So before anything is constructed in that area, one, PICO has to be consulted, and two, it may be time for that to be fixed so that when there is construction, there will be no default and collapse of the sidewalks.
It was fixed, like the other year.
Right.
Was it fixed?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
If I could add one other thing to this,
the point is that the people on the other side of the contract should be made aware that that was an issue and that there was a solution, but they at least put them on notice that there's a third party involved in it.
Right, and that was taken care of. Yes, right. Your ordinance also does not allow, without council approval, a bollard that is filled with concrete, which this is proposing. So I think next week also, council will be agreeing to allow them to place the steel bollard and fill it with concrete.
What were the ones that were constructed at Corton State? Are those posts that are removable with plastic covers, or what is over there?
I don't know. I'll let you know.
Okay, because there was a recent similar construction. Now, I'm not sure whether these are for parking issues or for security issues. I assume the latter.
Security issues, yes, is what we were told.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And to be clear for everyone, the everyone should look at the plans that were on the that came with the agreement, but it shows the PICO drain there and then the location of the bollard. So they're fully aware.
They wrote PICO on top of it.
So on top of their
very aware. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Nicole. Is that it?
That is all.
We had our vote last week, but not everybody in the public was there yet. So at our official meeting, I'd like to formally welcome Gilbert Wilson and Hunter LLP as our new bookkeeping and accounting services. They are located across the street, for anyone wondering. And today I sent them our executed agreement. So we're looking forward to hearing when they can start. We also received a proposal and other information from the Minor Center for their services. So if council will be going over that, I'd like to everybody to be able to discuss that, and then we can put that on the agenda next week. And I'll bring up the at the end of the meeting if I do have saying.
Okay. There were still no attachments, by the way.
The second time around?
Yeah.
I saw them physically online. I'm going to upload that stuff to share.
I'll have to get it just right away.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Excuse me, everybody. Okay. The Act 172/Act 91. So Act 172 of 2016 was the original act allowing tax incentives for or tax credits for a municipal volunteer. Municipal volunteers of fire companies and nonprofit emergency medical services agency. That's the official language. It was then updated in 2020 to make it 100% of it and then include EIT. So one of the reasons I have this highlighted on our draft is because I would like advice from the solicitor's office on what we write here. Do you take the new act and not even mention the old act? Or I don't want to put just the new act because then it sounds like our ordinance is based on that and has not the update. So that's just, you know, language. The highlighted version in a section in here, program criteria, was looked at by the police chief and deputy and assistant chief and the president of the NFA, and council will have received a resolution from Bensalem Township, which they looked at, and they made their criteria. You have to be serving the volunteer firefighting business, volunteer firefighting business or auxiliary function of a volunteer fire company. You have to be in good standing. You have to respond to a minimum 20% of the calls for emergency service, or you have to recruit a minimum of 25 hours of service attained by participation in activities such as response to emergency calls, formal training and drills, administrative and support services, fundraising or other sanctioned events. And you must demonstrate compliance with all the other eligibility criteria, which are in the ordinance. And I think everybody knows this. The sample ordinance came from the Pennsylvania State Association of Boroughs. So it's been through their process and through their legal process.
I have a question about the draft. I found it kind of confusing because it seemed like track changes were used, but then I accepted all the changes and there was still stuff at the end crossed out that didn't disappear. And so I'm just wondering if that crossed out stuff is going to be removed from our version of the ordinance, or?
So there were crossed out things that I wanted to make sure everybody was good with. For example, you could have your other emergency services.
Like all of this stuff.
Yes. So there's about two portions. One is, that when budget finance originally discussed this, the recommendation was Pat suggested to make it EIT because not all the volunteer firefighters living in the borough own their own home. Some of them can't afford their own home here. So the EIT is more fairly distributed. But I didn't want to unilaterally take it out without council saying, yeah, that makes sense, because okay, that's in the draft ordinance.
So the stuff that's crossed out, we should review and say, yes, it's fine to take out.
Right. And then the other thing is I checked with Evan Resnikoff at the Newtown EMS, and they have the occasional volunteer come up, or high school students or college students or so on, but they don't rely on volunteers. They don't have, you know, it doesn't, this has the state law allows you to include that, because say you had a volunteer driven EMS, you could include them. But in this case, it doesn't really apply.
Okay.
So I wanted to recommend it to take that out. Yeah.
I read it and I'm like, I don't know what context I'm reading this.
I'm sorry. Okay. So, and then the other edits were purely just, you know, putting Newtown in and that kind of thing. And I sent it over to the solicitor's office for their review to make sure that they're good with it. And then we would ask them to clean it up for us. And the earned income tax credit, borough tax collection district, that is our Bucks County district, and Keystone is the officer. So I clarified that with PSAB. So is everyone good with this? If we clean it up? Question for Cole. Do you think that we can have a cleaned up version to vote to advertise next week?
Yes, I do. In fact, I think we can probably have it in a couple of days.
Okay.
I have begun to look at it, but it's not in a final form. So.
Sure. Okay, great. Thank you. And so we're going to move that, Judy, as you just heard, into next week. Thanks, everyone. Okay, next, the International Fire Code. This has been floating around for a bit. We've had a couple of meetings referencing this. the adoption is up for next week. So that'll be the official hearing for it. And is everybody good to put that up as advertised? Skipping the next one because there's no more requests. Okay, so a discussion on the pig channel removal. So anybody who's been in the back has seen the big stack with the television and the stand and the boxes and all of that. And all of that was geared towards having our meetings on the public access channel that we have and also slides. So every time we went to the Chancellor Center, which they started before I came on, but within the last 20 years. And the Chancellor Center would then provide Judy or Marsha with a disk. And then Judy then takes the disk and uploads the disk. And now at, given times, it gets played. And in between, open positions or don't forget to call before you dig and whatever. Since Chancellor Center, since Council Rock School District switched to YouTube during the pandemic, they don't give us discs anymore because they don't make them, they don't use them. Everything is watchable by anybody live as is. They can tune into it on demand. They can watch it on demand on YouTube or watch it live however they want. And it's available to them. They don't have to wait for it to come around on the cable access channel. So the question is, do we want to consider not doing that anymore? Judy, when would you say they stopped doing it? I know it was around the pandemic, but I don't remember. When they stopped providing, Council Rock stopped providing the list.
Yeah, that was in 2020.
All right. Okay, 2020. And Judy has received no complaints, nor have I don't think anybody else has, saying that, hey, where are my meetings? And more people are getting used to being able to look at things on the internet or go to YouTube. But the fact that we've had no complaints.
And our website.
Right.
Because a lot of those slides, all that information is all on the website.
True. Yeah. Yeah. And we now we're doing Zoom right here too. So, and all those recordings are on the website. So people can go there and look. And there's a lot more access than there was before. So since 2020, the only thing we've used the pig channel for is the slides, the informative slides. And it takes up a lot of space. Now, we did spend nearly $10,000 on it in 2019 for a bunch of needed upgrades. So little did we know, we've got $7,000 budgeted for it this coming year in case there's technical, mechanical issues, whatever, we have it maintained. We do get $58,000 from our cable franchise agreement. So, we've got more than that to cover.
Contingent on having the public?
No, okay. No, that we get that because they get to run their stuff through our holes and in our town. And that's the agreements that came through last year. So that were renewed.
Could we sell the equipment? Is there any desire in the world?
Oh, well, let me go to Municipal, where you can buy and sell all kinds of cool stuff. You want a big backhoe? You can get it. All right. So
switch it in for backhoe.
We'd have to see if there's any legal things. We have purchased it, but I don't know if there's any things that kind of belong to them. So I think that we'd have to get sorted out or regarding selling it. And we are taking something away from the public. They no longer have those slides, but everything is available on the website so much more than it used to be, and all of our
and is the channel aren't there. The channel is available on digital antenna and through a cable service provider.
So cable.
Okay, so
Comcast.
That's a lot of people don't even have cable.
Exactly. That's another part of it. And, to understand the initial thought about it, right, you have these cable companies coming into municipalities saying, we we want access to your rights request so we can run our lines and whatever. And municipalities are like, okay, you're asking for this, this and this, it was an agreement, it's negotiation. And, you know, at that time, it was long before Zoom, it was long before YouTube, and municipalities, you know, said, well, we'd like something in exchange for that. We want to provide, you know, open, transparent government. We want to be able to, you know, show our meetings, you know, through your channels. So it was something that we as municipalities asked for. And but it's basically become, I think,
absolutely. Yeah. How often currently do you update the slides that are out there?
I haven't.
So theoretically, if we get rid of it and someone complains,
and
we can add slides to our YouTube channel. Just create a video.
A lot of that information is on there anyway.
But what I'm saying, in theory, if someone were to complain after, well, not as slides, not as like,
yeah.
So I'm just saying, in theory, if someone were to complain after we remove the channel, then we have a way of.
Yeah. Right. And I think a way of any information that was regularly put on there to have it sort of, you know, we have our top rotating, what used to be the most scrolling news and is now just news.
Yeah.
You know, we can put up some of the basic information was there, and also the stuff for the MS4 public education, that kind of stuff.
Yes.
If we terminate performing in that manner, does it affect the revenues from the city?
No,
actually, it saves us money.
Right,
so even though there's a technical breach, it's not a breach that would cause them to say, well, we're not going to pay as much.
Not at all. And it's specifically written in the agreement that we can stop using it, but then we have to go to them if we want to put it back because they may have assigned it to somebody else, in which case there's a process to get one back.
But we
can do that.
May have a mandatory duty to give them notice that we're ceasing that because we replaced it with an alternative.
All right. Well, and they might want to give it to somebody else. You know, somebody else can use it.
Do we want to put on the website some type of notification as of this date we will no longer be?
That's a good idea.
Providing slides, blah 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 blah. That's people, we have to push back there.
Yeah,
put a halt on it. I mean,
that's a good idea.
And
I like that.
I could even put that in the news.
I think, but absolutely, yes.
You know,
so
yeah.
Time for the fall bulletin.
Maybe.
Yeah, let's put that.
Get it out there. But just to, you know, to give everybody a comfort level, I mean, I've been in the role of secretary for 7 years. I really only know of one person that, you know, relied on the cable.
It wasn't me.
That person moved away and has since passed.
Okay.
So I really don't think I'm even leaving one straggler out there saying, oh, I wanted that. I don't think so.
Thank you. All right. But I like your idea of getting the news out.
Yeah, just like announcing that it's going to be effective every day. Yes.
Yeah. And maybe the announcement, we can let them know.
Judy, maybe an announcement, we can also let them know that as of 2020, we've no longer been able to put the meetings up there because the Chancellor Center is now putting it on YouTube and you can watch it on the website or on the YouTube.
Yeah.
Thank you.
One more item. So, in our ordinance under our chapter 320, having to do with fire insurance loss claims. So it calls for a designated officer. I'm going to read this out loud. The borough treasurer or such other duly authorized representative of the borough, as the borough council may designate, is hereby appointed as the designated officer who is authorized to carry out all responsibilities and duties stated herein. And this is specifically, there's like a loss in the borough, you need an escrow, the fire escrow, so the borough isn't left. We established this a few years ago, so the borough isn't left with an abandoned, burned out property. So Pat has been the designated officer. And I inquired with the solicitor's office, can we just say this via email, or who wants, you know, pick somebody, or president of council does it. And no, we have to have a vote because of the way it's written. So I'll be happy to be your duly authorized representative of the Borough we can do two. I'll take a second because when I leave, somebody needs to have it to then hand transfer to the manager.
There should be two.
There's a lot of things, like all the accounts. There's a whole process.
I don't want to thrust it upon them, but it makes sense to me that it's a member of the Fire Services Commission. So either Mary Ellen or John, if John's allowed to be, wants to be, or whatever, but that just makes the most sense to me. Both of them are going to be here in 2024.
So. And you'd be dealing with the escrow and all that.
That's my first thought.
Mm-hmm. And this would be like dealing, there'd be working with a bookkeeper, working with the manager.
Yeah, and eventually it will be the manager.
Yeah.
But in the interim, you're more flexible during the day, I think, than I am.
If I'm allowed to be, I'm sure.
Is the mayor allowed to be?
Yeah, it says or such authorized individual. There's no specific.
It says authorized representative. So can we have two and make it both of us, and then he'll stay on, and then, okay.
And I can always, if you need me, whatever.
Okay. Then we'll put this up for a vote next week. This has to be a vote. All right. That's all I have on my list.
So for personnel, we have two alternates needed for the Civil Service Commission. We're looking for one on the Environmental Advisory Council, one member for Human Relations Commission, one for Joint Historic. We're looking for four for the Planning Commission, and we currently have three applicants, one for the Zoning Hearing Board, an alternate, parking and signs ad hoc, always looking for people. Walk Friendly Newtown is looking for one member. Did I say two alternates for civil service? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. We have three planning commission applicants. So that's great. Well done.
Yes.
Thank you for.
But question as to the planning commission, since we're losing substantial institutional knowledge, should we interview these people to see what their experience is? Attitude towards what's going on in the world instead of just a blank approval just because they applied?
Well, you have got their application information is in the form that they filled out, and anybody is welcome to ask any applicant, like reach out to them. They put their email and phone number and reach out and ask them questions. But we have never interviewed or made people stand for interview in the past. You're the chair.
Well, we haven't done it in the past. I'm not sure that's appropriate now when we have access to every applicant and can ask any question we want.
When was it, I know I'm out of order right now, but when was the notice that there are four planning commission openings, and how would people have known to apply? Because I didn't know that these were vacancies until I read the agenda tonight. Right, so
it was publicized on the website
immediately. It was in the October newsletter that comes to every borough resident that signs up for it. It's been the
when did it come out that it said that there were more openings for planning?
It came out like the second,
and it might have been not all four people resigned at the same time.
So just this Monday,
right?
And when's the deadline for people to get out?
Well,
there is no deadline.
Well, if they want to be voted on next week, it had to be by 5 o'clock today.
Right. There's another thing
out today. People have less than 24 hours to respond.
Or
saw the email. They were on that website that day.
Well, that's
right. And if four people did, then four people do.
There's three now, but the other part of it is they can still, anybody can still put an application in, and we can vote on it in December. So there's four who have stepped in. There's four who stepped down, and there's only three applicants at this time. We don't have to approve all three of those applicants next week. And if more applicants come in between now and next week, they may not be voted on next week, but we could vote on them in November. And not all the terms are over at the same time. Like there's one that's the term is over in December 23, one is December 24, and I believe the other two are 26.
Two, yeah.
When you, these are not dates, these are years, to be clear.
Yes, I'm sorry, yes. Do you, are they right? I haven't written yet, do you know?
Yeah, and this, I mean, anytime somebody resigns from a board or committee or commission, you know, you put it out there and it's on the website, it's on the list. We do what we can.
That's the only way we can notify people, unless we just go door to door and let people know. Any other, do you have any other questions about that?
No, I just am seeing my newsletter now from Monday. I was working this week. I didn't see that. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Does anybody have any announcements?
You do your library.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But
I mean, both of libraries.
Yes, just thanks, Sam. Any other?
I'm not sure. Oh,
I didn't call your name on
So I'm going to go back to earlier. I mentioned we got the proposal from the Minor Center, which I forwarded. Then it wasn't there. I forwarded it wasn't there. So that means nobody else has seen it. And we had the suggestion to have an executive session for personnel to go over sort of the plan that was presented to us. And I said if everybody was up for it, we could just stay on the left of this meeting because it ends early. But on the other hand, anybody can say, and with absolute comfort, that they'd rather do it next week because prior to the meeting, because this is not a 24-hour announcement, and they haven't seen the paper yet.
Yeah, I'd rather wait because I want to review everything before I talk about it. So next Tuesday.
For the public's information, explain what it is because you haven't explained what that report is going to say.
Ah, okay. So this is a proposal from the Minor Center for the Study of State and Local Government is out of Lafayette College. I brought this up in meetings prior. And they provide services such as doing studies of municipalities to give you feedback on your operation or finding personnel and specifically personnel like managers. So they've done it. They know people. They have a system. They're very familiar with everything and they'll walk you through it and help you do it. And people know them. So they say, yes, the Minor Center is putting this out. They know that it's going to be done in a reliable way. And they know that it's been sort of the whole process of presentation and setup has been screened by the Minor Center. And they also know people, so they might know who to reach out to. Say there's somebody who is an assistant manager somewhere who would like to actually be a manager, or maybe they just want to be a Newtown Borough, which was so great. So this is the what they would do, and we had talked about our interest in having them help us in this process, especially because this would be our first manager, so it's tougher than usual. And we received the proposal from them, along with their her resume, Nicole Beckett, who would be helping us, and some prior other projects, a whole list of other projects they've done, along with the general plan of how they would do it in terms of you have a logistics meeting and your first round and your second round and the final round and what's involved with each one. So what the process would be. So we received all of these things from her, and council would like to discuss it because it is personnel and involving somebody who will be an employee. It qualifies under the Sunshine Act for an executive session. So Nicole, I know Eileen would be in charge of that, but do you know if you'd be available next week
for the executive
session? Yeah, prior to 7.
I would. I believe Mike intends to cover next week,
okay,
so he would.
Yeah, and he'll know in advance.
Yeah, but for some reason that doesn't work out, I would be totally in.
Sure.
So we're saying 6 o'clock on next Tuesday.
Yeah, I think that would be the plan.
Okay.
There is no National League playoff game next Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. All right. All right, and I'll send an email to everyone so that we have the formal notification, and also so that I can. And my answer it this way. Great. Do we have any other announcements?
So I wanted to kind of circle back to the public comment that
the resident who spoke about his concerns about the parking spot.
Mm-hmm.
One of the several things that were concerning about this development is exactly that, in that the majority of us, if not all of us, are not going to be here. We'll be here, but we're not going to be sitting in council when those are built, right? The residents are going to come with parking issues to us as council.
Mm-hmm.
And if this is a contractual thing with Alan, I know we talked about this, you brought it up about the condition of that back parking lot, you brought the attention and nothing ever happens. We talked with Kentucky. This is important. And he had asked us to put this not in kind of, we're talking about it, let's get it black and white. This is what you're entitled to. So I just want to kind of reiterate that we need to have an answer and not, well, we'll work this all out someday. We're not going to be here in that residence coming. So that's all I ask.
Understood. Sure. Yep.
Yeah. And I saw Michelle was writing down a lot. And and I plan to talk to her, but I want to put her on the spot to start talking about it.
There are already four residents.
Yeah. But there's nine condos.
No, but the ultimate owners of the vacancies are not known yet. We have four people who are affected right now who are entitled to two spaces.
That's his
and that's between him and Alan, right?
Right. That is.
My concern is that's not how it's going to work going forward. They're going to come here. So if there are issues, he needs to take care of that.
We were probably even privy. Is not anything we were even privy to.
It's not development.
Michelle was writing furiously because it's probably the first time she's ever heard that.
Right.
Because again, has nothing to do with us.
That's why
it's never been disclosed while I've sat in this chair.
I agree.
Right.
It's a contract between Alan and his residents. We never saw it.
But I think if he came to us, we can advocate.
Sure, absolutely. I agree.
Thanks. And I fully agree and appreciate what you're saying.
I agree with you.
Yeah, we should.
I'm not saying we should. I've been instructed to contact them on this issue. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Right. All right. Any other announcements? Public to be heard.
Okay. I have several items. The first is I contacted you last week regarding the condition of Norwood Avenue just south of the intersection of Washington. I saw that the engineer did come out and mark all the potholes. When is that getting addressed?
She and I are meeting tomorrow morning.
Okay, so this is going to be included in the current road program.
We're meeting tomorrow morning, and we also have the kickoff meeting for the current road program after that. So.
Okay, and then sort of a second part to that one is that I noticed how far it got marked down, which does go about as far as my pictures. But if you go another 10 feet. The condition of the roadway right there is all like alligator, whatever you call it there. So it is falling apart too. It was previously gumped up with crack seal. And as you know, as you will recall from a few years ago, when the crack seal was put down around
I
brought you the crack seal.
I did.
Peeled off. So that's the whole area there. So I'm thinking that it's stopping short. If you're going to be there.
All right, I'll bring up the alligator in general.
Okay.
Excuse me, is it the north side? North side or south side?
South Norwood, right? With the half block frontage at Washington. Just to turn on off of Washington on the Norwood. There are three huge potholes there and the surface is falling apart.
And what's the next street?
Center,
okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, that's number one. Number two, I know that last month we did discuss the draft plastic, single-use plastic ordinance that the EAC put forward, and I have a question from the EAC to know what the timeline is when council may be considering looking at that draft.
All right, well, our liaison is not here. We have one solicitor. Nicole, do you know the status of that?
I do not, but I am happy to look into it and get an answer on that.
Okay. All right, and my third item is regarding the Miner Center, which I am wholly approve of. I think it's an excellent idea. I heard nothing but good things about it from managers who said, they are the people to help you get a manager. And I know that we spoke of Mr. Wallen who came in. However, I think I don't believe your discussion regarding what might be in the contract and who might serve the borough in this capacity is actually an executive session matter. It does not, it is not personnel. Personnel is when you're going to talk about an employee and whether they're your or you know, that kind of thing. It is not when you're going to bring in a consultant. That interview would very much happen in public. Your discussion about whether the contract covers everything you'd like to have, that's a public discussion. That's not behind closed doors in an executive session. It's not, it needs to be out there. I want to know how you want to spend my money to bring someone in, hire someone. That, that way you're having a discussion after you've interviewed everybody in person, you know, like when you're bringing in your potential manager and you have those interviews need to be public. I'm not also not sure whether an executive session to discuss what you've heard in the interviews is necessarily appropriate. I would leave that to our solicitor to determine. But I think in terms of hiring a consulting firm to help you find someone is not something that gets discussed in an executive session.
Fair enough. Nicole?
I would have to check with those in my office who have looked into this. I believe you said that someone gave feedback on the issue.
Yeah, well, remember our council were asked to have an executive session. So this afternoon. So I said, sure. I did not think thoroughly through the part of what Julie is saying, but I know it has to do with a larger picture of personnel. But it's true, this is an agreement for a service for personnel, not the personnel themselves.
I was under the impression that the person who requested this wanted the discussion to be whether or not this is even the direction we wanted to go in, based off the timeline given and everything like that, which to me is part of the broader.
That's also not an executive session discussion. That is a discussion for the public.
So should we put it on the agenda for next week?
I understand. I mean, I understand what you're saying in terms of it could be a discussion of broader personnel needs, essentially, and what direction council wants to go in. I also understand the point that Julia is raising. I think maybe we should just look into it a little bit more closely. I'll circulate that for opinions, essentially. It sounds like there could be some shade of gray. I think maybe we want to nail down exactly the nature of the discussion we're looking at.
And we'll know before noon on Friday so that Judy knows what's on the agenda.
Sounds great.
Sure. Thanks. All right.
Just as a point of reference, the Herald reports the hiring of various managers within the county and the selection process, that appears to be an open public process.
Absolutely.
And candidates are selected, they're interviewed, there's votes, and there's public discussion of things. So that's what I get out of the Herald, which I consider a valuable resource. I'm sure Jeff's patch also has the same similar kind of information. It's really vital to this important step that we're taking because we're going someplace we've never been.
And you didn't tell the audience.
Just the six of us, but it's the community that's moving in this direction by necessity.
Okay. All right. Thank you. So, all right. Do you have any other comments to be heard? No. Okay. Well, I'm staying among the future.
So moved. Games at 8.
Second. Okay. Five. Meeting is adjourned.
So, how do you make the picture tonight?
5 minutes.
All right. My stuff's done.
Oh, yeah.
He's
tired.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe if you get